And there's no readings above background in those, of course. So this is just a map. I know it's a little bit hard to see the detail, but I really just wanted to, just show an illustration. This is the site area. These blue rectangles represent the trenches, most of which are capped now, but I mean, we still have it on the drawing to show the individual outline of the trenches. And so this is the bottom of the disposal site, and down here is Mary's Branch Creek. It's a very thin blue line that I'm tracing here. And there are three, and this is where the oldest trenches are, where the waste was first disposed in beginning in 1971. And so this is where we continue to see the highest concentration of tritium is in this well. At the headwaters of the creek, we're seeing 368,000 picocuries per liter. I'll explain a little bit about what these numbers mean in a moment. And then down here at the compliance point, which is where the creek actually leaves Kim Nuclear's property and goes on to Savannah Riverside property, we're seeing 121,000 picocuries per liter. The regulatory limit is 25 millirem per year. Now, that's a dose limit, but since tritium is the radionuclide, the main radionuclide that's contributing to that, we can ask ourselves, well, what's the concentration of tritium that you could have there, that would equal that 25 millirem, and that would be 500,000 picocuries per liter. So we're at about a fifth of the regulatory standard. There is some increased monitoring in the area that began when we reached 100,000 picocuries per liter, and essentially, it's remained around 100,000 for at least 10 years. So it's remained very stable. And these are second quarter 2014 numbers. So each year, Kim Nuclear submits to us an annual trending report. And the purpose of this report is to monitor plume movement, because as you can imagine, with 178 monitoring locations and all of this quarterly data, we need a way to try to get a statistical understanding, of what the plume is doing. So it looks at data over a five-year period. There are 27 key locations that we look at each time. Of course, there's a statistical analysis performed. And in the latest trending report that we received this fall, we're seeing an upward trend at four of those locations. At 13, there's a downward trend, which includes the creek where WC0002 and 008, the two that were at the creek. And at 10, there are no trend, and that includes the monitoring well that I said typically has the highest tritium levels. And so, these tritium levels are closely monitored at the compliance point. They're stable. They've been stable. The plume is well defined. It's not doing anything unexpected at this point. And there are, there's no receptors of the water. It's all on site. And I'd just like to reiterate that there's no dangers to the public. I think that's something that people are always concerned about. So, and that is essentially it for that part of it. So now I can turn it over to David. He will give you an update on the license appeal.
Right, and I'll wrap it up with the license appeal update. As you're familiar with, the license renewal has been under appeal by the Sierra Club since 2004. And you've seen many of these slides last time. I'm going to go through them pretty quickly here. DHEC renewed the license. It was appealed to the Administrative Law Court. The court dismissed Environmentalists, Inc. based on lack of standing. In 2005, the court issues it issued its order affirming the license renewal. In 2010, the Court of Appeals issued an order affirming in part and remanding in part back to the Administrative Law Court to make specific findings on Section 7.10(5-10), 7.11, and 7.23.6 as to whether or not Chem Nuclear was in compliance with those. Basically, the Administrative Law Court issued its order on remand affirming that Chem Nuclear was in compliance, and the Sierra Club appealed that order in 2010. All of that happened and was reported to you last year. Since then, we've had a hearing before the Court of Appeals, and on July 30th, 2014, the court issued an opinion that confirmed in part, again, and reversed in part, DHEC's decision to renew the license. Specifically, the court ordered DHEC and Chem Nuclear to prepare a plan for compliance with three subsections of the regulation concerning rainfall onto and out of the trenches. DHEC filed motions for petitions for rehearing and a motion, and Chem Nuclear filed a motion for a stay of the order's requirements. The motion for a stay was granted by the court on August 28th. The petitions for rehearing are still pending, and that's pretty much where we are with the status of the appeal. And we would be happy to answer any questions you might have.
At the rate of low-level waste you're getting from the compact now, and you talk about closure, will you run out of space before the 2038 time frame comes along, or will you be able to continue?
No, we don't expect to run out of space. It's based on the projected volumes of waste that are expected to come in from the power plants that are in those three states. Mm-hmm. And so the date of closure really was kind of born out of those volumes that are expected to come. So, no, we don't expect to. There's not much space left, but there's not much volume left to come, essentially.
What happens after 2038?
Well, if the site does indeed close at that time, then we would begin the phase two closure operations, where we would cap those remaining trenches. And of course, those are going to be capped along the way, so it would just be probably the very last one or the very last few, because they're done in groups. But and then we would go back through all of the performance objectives that are in the license, all of the things that were done in phase one. We would go back through that process to verify that all of those performance objectives have been met again. And we would probably go back, well, we would definitely go back and look at what was closed under phase one. We would look at that again. So that would be the process, and that's expected to take 12 months.
I just mean, what's the plan for low-level waste?
What's the plan for low-level waste?
Yeah.
Well,
disposal.
There are other disposal facilities. There's one in Clive, Utah, that accepts waste from all states still. However, they only accept certain classes of waste, so that leaves some folks without disposal. But there is a site in Texas that opened, I guess, a few years ago. And although they are in a compact, it's Texas and Vermont, they are moving towards accepting waste from other states as well. So it's expected that that would be an option for South Carolina and other states to send their waste to Utah or Texas.
Does DHEC have a resident at the site?
Yes.
Just one?
Yes.
And presumably that person's there the entire time that the facility's open?
Yes.
The monitoring for drinking water wells around the site, mm-hmm. are those showing anything?
No, they're all background.
All background.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You said that the, from a trend perspective, the one that is closest to the trenches that has the highest activity has shown no trend recently?
In this recent report, it's showing no trend. So over the most recent 5 years, it's showing no trend. Yes. Yes, last year, as I don't recall it for that particular well, but I do recall that we had a few more with an upward trend than we do this time. But again, it's a trend. We're looking at it annually for a five-year period, so that changes a little bit. We also actually have them do a three-year trend, but I didn't speak about that for brevity. But
right, and those data are on our website.
But at some point, you would expect that if that was the source, based on how long that it's been there, that you would start to see a decline in that concentration at that highest, where you were showing the highest concentration on the map. You'd expect that to start coming down.
Yes.
I think the last time you presented to us, that trend was actually increasing.
It's
probably heartening to see that it's at least the state. Okay.
Yes, but we don't know what next year will bring, but... But like I said, we continue to monitor it, and we're looking at those things.
Is the license a five-year license?
Yes, it is. It is a five-year license.
So since the license has basically been on hold for 11 years, what do we do at those five-year points when the license should be applied for? Is Chem Nuclear still going through the process of applying for a new license?
They are.
Are they in timely renewal?
Well, essentially, they are sending us updates to all of their procedures at that time. A license renewal, just speaking in general, for any radioactive material license, the purpose of the renewal is for licensees to provide us updates of their procedures and any, you know, information that may have changed since the last one. With Chem Nuclear, since they have a lot of procedures, more than most facilities do, they always give us new procedures as they come out. So we already have them, but they do send us a letter and the application, but we do not act on it because since the license is in the court system, you know, we don't want to issue a new amendment to the license when the license is under appeal. So it's kind of confusing. It's kind of a legal thing, but you know, they do send us that, but we can't make an official ruling because, as I said, we don't want to say, oh, well, there's this new license. But they are meeting all of the requirements from the license that was appealed and the one that was previously in place. And a lot of the requirements, some of the requirements that they have are the things that they do are in the procedures. And so, you know, those are updated. But they're not part of the license. They're just tied to it.
The split samples that you do, are those done at a DHEC lab, or do you contract that out?
Both.
You do both?
Yes.
And you do a comparison with what Chem Nuclear's results are? You know, it's always pretty close?
Yes.
Okay. What happens if Chem Nuclear decides that this isn't profitable anymore and they walk? Who owns the site?
The state of South Carolina owns the land.
Which agency within the state is going to take ownership? It used to be the Budget Control Board, I believe, right?
Yes. I mean, the Budget Control Board, as I understand it, and others may be able to speak to it better than I, but, you know, they are the, I guess, entity of the state that controls all of the property of the state and the state's holdings. But I guess with...
and the financial assurance as well.
Right.
Closes.
Right. So now we would essentially, if they did decide to close the site, or when, I mean, it will close one day, but when that happens, whenever it may be, essentially that license is still going to be in effect. They just won't be the license holder. Like I said, it will be South Carolina. So DHEC will continue to, you know, be part of that. We just won't be, you know, on the license. And the license will not read the same way that it does now, because it will be more possession. Radioactive materials licenses are for possession and use of radioactive materials, whether it be waste or anything else. And so since there won't be any operations other than the institutional controls, the license will really just be for possession and knowing that those materials exist in that location and that they will be in the custody of the state.
So the state can own a facility that would be licensed by the state?
Apparently so.
Okay. Susan, thank you very much for converting your units of measure to picocuries per liter, which is the only one I understand. When you talked about the sample locations with trends, what is the spatial relationship of those? Can you see a plume moving downstream, or is it kind of random, some are up, some down?
We've looked at that before. In this, what we would call the center of the plume, just based on spatial location, you know, sometimes when you look at it and the concentrations that are on the map that I showed, it's appears to be more concentrated kind of in the middle and not along the edges. But I think that is probably related to the location of the oldest trenches being in the center of the site. Or the, I mean, they're in the lower part of the site, but in the center as far as north-south.
So
I mean, excuse me, east-west.
Yeah, so knowing this doesn't help you establish where the tritium's coming from or where the plume is heading or...
Well, we know it's headed to the creek.
Well, yeah, I know, but I mean, like, is it in a valley and it's, you know, it's going this way and this way?
It's pretty much south, southwest is the direction that it's headed. So, and it comes out of the headwaters of the creek, so that is the flow of groundwater. It's following the flow of groundwater. And, you know, of course, we're using the monitoring wells to learn about the flow of groundwater because, of course, tritium is really just a radioactive form of, right, it's just radioactive water. So it is the groundwater, essentially. But, yeah, and the, you know, the plume, the outer edges of the plume, that has not really changed. The overall shape of it has not changed. You know, the direction of flow, we don't see a lot of changes there.
Okay, that's probably what I was trying to drive at. My last question is, when you talk about the estimated closure date being 2038, mm-hmm. and it will close, you have some, I assume you have a set volume limit or set cure limit, that you will, after that you will not accept any more waste. What is the compact's agreements with the states in terms of reactor D&D? Is this just active, you know, operating reactor waste that y'all are expecting, or are you expecting some D&D after they shut down those reactors in Connecticut, New Jersey?
I'm not sure exactly when those are scheduled.
That's why I'm asking, because they keep changing.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I would assume it would be, you know, like I said, the 2038 is based on the projected volumes, and I don't know exactly if they're expecting certain ones to close at certain times. As you said, that those dates may change. So the 2038, like I said, it's kind of based on that. I'm not sure how many will be decommissioned at that time, but I think that it will, that some will be, that it will include some, you know, decommissioning waste.
But it's more based on volume than status of the reactor.
I think it's based on both.
Okay.
I think it's based on both. But I can get you more information on that.
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Other questions?
Thank you for coming today. I just have a couple questions about the fund that the state has, or the state holds the money in escrow for the long-term maintenance of the facility. Are you familiar with that fund?
Yes, the extended care fund.
How much money is in that fund?
Do you know, George?
Do you mind if George answers for us?
Yeah.
You're in control of that.
Approximately $153 million.
Okay, and then how much is going out every year, and how much comes in each? Is there money coming in each year, and then how much goes out each year?
Well, none's coming out of that.
Okay.
There is money for every cubic foot that comes to the site. There's a certain percentage that goes towards that fund. Some that goes to the decommissioning trust fund. So it's been growing as long as it's been there.
And that money is intended to take. It's supposed to take care of this 200 and plus acres in perpetuity? Is that what's the intent of that money long term?
The intent is to provide a minimum of 100 years of institutional maintenance and observation and testing at the site after everything is decommissioned 100 years after that.
So beginning in 2039 currently?
Yes.
Yes.
And how did that? Where'd that? If it's supposed to be for 100 years, I mean, has anybody figured out how much it's supposed to cost for that 100-year period to do what you're saying it's intended to do? Do we know that's if that's enough money?
Yes, that's in the closure plan, and there are estimates on how much all of the activities would cost to maintain the site. Mowing the grass, security, those types of things. And so it's all in there.
So is there a projection on how much would be in the fund by 2038? And would that projection be enough for that 100-year period? I think what you're telling me, it would be, but...
Yes. Of course, really the fund, the adequacy of the fund... there's been some analysis of it in the past that showed that it's more based on essentially interest rates and those types of things. That has it's most sensitive to that, you know, the amount of money that will be in it. But with all of the projections that are out there, you know, we believe that it has enough, that there's enough money in there for the 100 years.
Is there an estimate as to how much will be in there by 2038 based on...
I don't have that information, but I can try to find it for you, unless George knows.
We don't keep necessarily a real-time estimate as the amount of waste that comes in changes every year. And when you project it over 100 years or even to the year 2038, there's so many things in there that I don't know if it would necessarily be even close to an accurate number. But it is always in the closure plan, which is updated. So it's always being looked at from that point of view.
Let me ask this. If we determine 5 years from now that there is groundwater contamination, who cleans that up?
Well, we've already determined that.
But if we determine that it's in danger to the public, that where it needs to be, where somebody needs to go in and clean it up. It's my understanding from reading some of the news reports that it's not, and you just said to us a few minutes ago that anything that's in the ground is not a danger to the public. But what if it's determined, and what if we're having the same, what if we're having our annual update 2 years from now in January 2017 and we are told something different? I mean, does that money come out of that fund to clean that up, or does the state have to pay for it then? Is there some private contractor that will pay for it? Does Chem Nuclear have a responsibility? I mean, I'm just curious.
I believe that the company would have the responsibility to pay for it. Based on the modeling that's been done, I don't believe that that actually will become an issue, because, you know, the tritium decays, it has a fairly short half-life, mm-hmm. and so it's we're not expecting it to exceed any limits or to become a danger to the public.
Yeah, based on the modeling, we don't expect the dose to get near the concentration where it would be a threat to the public. But ChemNuclear would be responsible if something, for any type of remediation that we would have to do.
And that would not have to come out of that escrow account that the state has?
I don't believe so. That's for the extended care maintenance fund. So
that's for the
extended care maintenance of the facility.
Okay.
As far as I understand it.
Okay. Thank you.
I just have one more request, and it's mostly because I'm lazy. Can you send me the sections of the regulation that the Sierra Club is basing there? You know, those seven dot whatever. Could you send me those sections just so I can understand better what their concerns are?
And also, I don't know if there are any other questions, but we also, one thing that I failed to mention is that the ChemNuclear annual update newsletter that we do, that we send out to the residents and other interested parties. I have some copies here to provide to you as well.
Thank you all very much. It was very informative. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Shelley, are you ready to do the DHEC update?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the council. It's always good to see you. Hope you're having a wonderful new year. I'll just say that that David and Susan do a great job of putting all of the groundwater information on the website. So it is a great resource to check. It's been on the website for a number of years, so they've been active in sharing that information. But thanks so much for the opportunity today. I just want to share a few items in relation to Savannah River site. Just wanted to talk a little bit about DHEC's oversight in relation to Savannah River site, the soil and the groundwater cleanup, and then always high-level waste, which is my personal, that's the, probably the nearest and dearest to me. But in terms of the DHEC oversight, I thought that today would be a great opportunity, since Rob Pope with EPA was here earlier, to talk to you. I just wanted to also give you some perspective on the federal versus the state oversight. And so Rob talked to you a lot about the soil and the groundwater cleanup that EPA is involved in. And again, I just wanted to compare and contrast that to what the state does, so you get an idea of the roles and responsibilities. But for DHEC, one of the things that we, these are the major areas where we have interaction or oversight with Savannah River site. One of the big things that we do is the protection role. And I think Rob explains to you that EPA, they write the rules and they write the regulations, but once they're done with that, they turn around and give it to us. And he mentioned that DHEC is authorized. We are an authorized state for most, or pretty much all of the media, for air and water and waste, which means that EPA has looked at our programs, and they have imbued us with authority, and they monitor us, but still the authority is with us to actually implement the regulations. And as part of that, we issue permits if the application meets all of the requirements, and those permits govern emissions and wastes at the site. So for Savannah River site, we have many different permits that have been issued. Frankly, over the years, we've issued hundreds of permits or permit modifications to Savannah River site for air and for wastewater and for drinking water, and for, there's a hazardous waste permit. There are a myriad of permits, too numerous for me to name, but just so you can keep in mind that DHEC is constantly looking at those permits, modifying those permits, updating those permits in relation to Savannah River site emissions and waste activities. We also do inspections and compliance checks for all of those permits for air, water, waste, land, and do enforcement actions if necessary. So all of that is part of our role in that top bullet, protection. And that's, again, governing. so that the site operates in accordance with today's environmental